Hi, Andrew. So this is a little bit unusual. So I'm starting us off this morning, but only so I can hand it over to you. So I know this topic has been on your radar for a couple of weeks now, horns and halo effect. So I'm just going to throw you in straight at the deep end. Tell me a little bit more about what it is that you're talking about with this, and what is this horns and halo effect?
I'm happy to do that. And also that we can talk about this in the context of coaching. I think rather make it an abstract concept, which it isn't. The horns and halo effect is essentially, posh words coming now, cognitive bias. Well, I'll leave all the neuro stuff to one side. Having said that, words like Eric Thorndike, there's a lot of research in this. Essentially, horns and halo is about recognizing the potential impact of horns not liking something about somebody, who they are, where they're from, what they say, their accent, could be facial hair, absence of it, ginger hair, sometimes irrational. Sometimes you might convince yourself it's rational. In the case of horns, dislike for something, could be the regimental tie, this sort of stuff, things where you went to school. There's so many things that can cause us, whether we know it or not, to take a dislike, and for that to have an impact on what we do as a coach. The halo effect, the opposite. Something about them you like. They're like me. They support my football club. They went to the same school as my son, in the case of Flo on The Apprentice currently. So it's recognizing that and saying to yourself, is this having an impact which is unhelpful on the coaching I do? Because I find myself, I don't want to launch into a big speech here, really, I don't. I find myself liking particularly people who engage with me and seeing value in what I do. And that's great because that's good for my ego. Does that cause me to be more favorable and give them some sort of favorable treatment in some way? I don't know. It's all about the liking and disliking, rational, irrational thing. And that's the end of my speech on the subject.
Thank you. Well, there's a couple of things there, isn't there, really? I guess.
Only two.
yes, I can definitely understand where you're coming from in terms of if you. And so, and it is unconscious, isn't it? Sometimes we just get a feeling that we don't like being around a person, and there's something that gets under our skin or something that irritates us about it. And it's not even a conscious thing. It may be the body language or a word they've
It
used or
might be them
something.
saying, I don't want to do this, which I've
Yeah.
experienced.
Yeah. And but then yes, it does make it harder to work with them, I think, actually. And maybe though. Maybe that's not a bad thing because I suppose it depends on the context. For me, I see it, I suppose, because I work more with individuals rather than organizations, I have a lot more say in whether I choose to work with them or not. And I think if it's something that doesn't click, then for me, then that's not a good client because they've got to be comfortable with me and I have to be comfortable with them to get most out of it.
And it is reciprocal. Maybe they're feeling the same things as we're
Yeah.
talking about.
Yeah, definitely. So because they possibly have that sense as well that there's something that's unnerving about them. So because I mean, as humans, we often mirror each other, don't we? So it may well be that they're picking up on something on us as well. So there's quite a few different unconscious and underlying aspects within this, I think.
There are, Angelica, and I thought about this a lot because there are people I can think of them by name. They stay in my head over 42 years, and I can think of people I've been working with in a coaching context. And as you say, most of my coaching, all of my coaching, most of the time is about corporate work, working with up to 15 people currently in one organization, sometimes less. And I can think of people who just didn't want to engage, and the context is very important. Sometimes I'm given a brief, which is very different in reality to what I'm told. So I might be given a brief. I can think of one. It's not in current situation where here's half a dozen people for you to go in and to be their coach. I'll introduce you. So the client comes in, the commissioning client. Here's your coach. Off he goes. And then I'm left with somebody I didn't know, don't know anything at all about, really. And then they say, well, what's this all about then? Is it because I'm in trouble all the time? I thought, oh, here we go. And then you start getting the real brief. And it's very often the company's looking to get rid of me. That was the case, but in quite a few cases, when one particular client, I got wise to this. And I used to say, what's it feel like to be on the naughty step? And then you develop a relationship with those people. But sometimes that's not possible because they're so of the view that you're there as the axe man to get them out of the organization that they will not engage.
Yeah. And then that's counterproductive because nobody benefits from that. That's the problem, isn't it? Coaching is a lot about building up that rapport and that relationship where people can be open and honest in a safe space. Now, if that's not being
Dangerous.
introduced in the right way, then you're already setting off on the wrong foot, and it doesn't set you up for a great sort of relationship with that person.
I'll tell you what, though, it's very rewarding because when you know that's where you start from. In my case, I think, hey, I'm on the spot here because I can make this work, and I always believe I can. But actually, sometimes it turns out I'm wrong because the circumstances just don't allow them to be. I once rang up in the client organization I'm talking about, which isn't the one working with now. What I was talking about with the What's This All About one, and one of the guys there was in Sheffield, where you are, Hillsborough, and don't say more on that. And I rang him up. You've heard me tell this story before, so you'll give the face that says, "Oh, I haven't heard this before." And I said, "Good news, Ian," because that was his name. I'll say not the organisation. He says, "Oh, you're not coming up tomorrow then." Now, that cannot fail to have an impact on me because I knew he meant it. Because I, and then when I do turn up, he just sits there like this, his arms folded, and checking his phone if he can, looking around for people to try and interrupt him, that sort of stuff. And I thought, I'm not doing any good here. It's very hard to give somebody something when they aren't giving you anything back. And the contrary, I'm working with some really good people right now. And those that are really asking me questions, exploring issues, showing interest, I'm thinking, wow, this is great. I love working with you. And I recognize that I give them more. I give them more attention, more interest, more of me than people I have to prize things out of.
Yeah, and that makes sense, doesn't it? We are going to be willing to engage more because we can give more in those circumstances as well. If somebody doesn't want it and they've got a wall up, then we can throw things out there, but it's not going to land, or not land in the right way. And I think this is where it is really important to set the coaching relationship up correctly in the first instance, and especially if for you, when you're working in organizations and perhaps you've got somebody who's commissioning that but not actually being coached and they're bringing somebody in, then I think it is important for us as coaches to understand what it is they've been told and what is the reasoning behind it, and what's the buy-in from this person. If you haven't got the buy-in, you are starting off from a harder position. It's not that, like you say, not that you can't do anything, it just means it's slightly harder to make progress, I think.
I think it's more than slightly sometimes, but you are absolutely right. And I think it is to do with contracting because we can only do so much as the commissioned coaches. It's the client that needs to genuinely, authentically, and realistically say, this is what this is all about. They might not even know. I've discovered things that are well beyond the knowledge of the client, the commissioning client, in conversation with people. Things they didn't know. So sometimes they're innocent of the issues, but sometimes they don't make an effort to give us a good brief.
Yes, it's almost like to think if we don't, if we if they don't tell us, then it's not an issue.
Fair
Yeah,
enough.
but that does make it very
Oh, this is what
difficult
it's
then, doesn't
really
it?
all about. I'm going to pretend that isn't happening. Let's see if he finds it out for himself.
Yeah, and maybe sometimes having slightly less knowledge can empower you because then you go in with a black, a clear
Understood.
plan.
I
So
think that's
sometimes
being
it can be
very generous
helpful if,
towards some people who really haven't given a good brief, but you're right.
yeah.
If I because sometimes the cognitive bias starts at that level. If the client sits down and says, right, get us in trouble with this guy because he gives us nothing but grief, that's in there. It's
Yeah.
already in there.
And you're already going to go in with a different mindset, aren't you, then? You're always going to be thinking, right, I need to be doing this or I need to be doing that or whatever. So it is important. This is where it gets very interesting, isn't it? So having the right information, the right amount of information can definitely be helpful, but also trying to remain open-minded as well. It might just be that that person doesn't have a good relationship
Could
with
be.
their employee,
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely.
what's tainting their view, not the fact that they don't want coaching.
Yeah, I mean, the horns and halo could be down to the client. I'm giving you this bloke because I don't like him and want you to give me a reason to get rid of him. Or it could be, hey, this is our star person. This is a person I think's great. And you're getting that vibe, and you think, all right, okay, so I better respond to that and tell this person it's the very person they think they are, instead of, you thought this person was great, mate, no chance. So, yeah, everything we're told and sometimes things we're not told influences our own horns and halo. And yeah, it's the right thing to recognize that and to work on it if it's felt to be unhelpful. But it's hard because we're humans.
I think that's it raises a good point though, isn't it? And this is where, as coaches, perhaps we do have a little bit more skill in this, is if we can become more self-aware and, like you say, recognizing, oh, this is not feeling good. Is it me because I've got some bias here, or am I picking up something with the client? And actually, sometimes you can reflect that back to the client, can't you, and say, I'm feeling a bit of tension here, or I'm getting a strange vibe. Do you want to tell me a little bit more, or what are your thoughts around this? So I think as coaches, we can use our skills to not necessarily diffuse, I don't think I mean diffuse, but to certainly make the process a little bit easier.
And then you start to stray pretty close to ethical issues. What is the information you keep to yourself, particularly when you've told the client, the learner client, that? Sometimes I've been in a three-way bind because of my corporate work where the commissioning client wants to know more than I'm prepared to tell. And I've contracted with the learner client, if you like, to say, this is between us. And then I'm thinking, is there a point when it's not between us, when I think it's a conversation to be had, and what's the implications of that, and what the commissioning client do with that? So I withhold more than I disclose, to be honest, and I make that clear to the commissioning client, and they have to be comfortable with that. So, yeah, there are all sorts of impacts on this, including the ethical. But I think that it boils down to, as human beings, I'm not going to say everyone else, respond more positively to people who engage with me than people who don't.
Yeah, and I think that's probably true of all of us, isn't it? Really, it's so much easier to get on with somebody who you get on with and make progress with, I suppose. Yeah.
I think you are absolutely right. It's then about being clear where the line is, where that's appropriate, and where it can become unhelpful, and the need to be even-handed with people that. I mean, I've worked with people I don't like. I've had good positive outcomes from people I don't like and probably didn't like me. Because sometimes there's the element of it. And we think this is one-dimensional. It's not. People are making these judgments of us all the time as well.
Certainly are. And I think, but this is, it's sometimes helpful. I think sometimes this is where we get more growth is by working with people that we're not necessarily on the same wavelength with or feel as comfortable with, because that's where that level of challenge comes in. And sometimes that level of challenge is a positive thing. It doesn't always go the other way, does it?
Yeah, and I mean, we've discussed the fact that we agree with each other too often. And I think if you're too comfortable and you're too aligned with someone, then yes, there is that danger of not being in the challenging space. Because one thing I do try and do very deliberately when I recognize that I'm in a call, as I was recently, with a coaching client, and it was going tremendously. And I thought, hang on, we don't want to make this purely conversational. I've got to throw some. So what can you do about this? And how did you feel about that? And how could this have gone better? Because if you're not careful, it can just be conversational because you get on so well with somebody. You think, hey, it's great. You think, well, is this developmental for this person? And yet, ironically, there could be more development because it's more focused on performance issues and less conversational. There's less shared interest in a more challenging conversation when talking about performance is all there is.
Yeah, and I guess that's again partly how we set it up as coaches, isn't it? What is it that you want out of this session? And then there may well be other input from, like you say, the commissioning person. But if it is just you and your client, then it's about what do you want from this? And sometimes, you know, if people have had quite a challenging time, maybe they just need that space to offload and to clear their thoughts. But other times, it's about making sure that they've got something at the end of that session to move forwards with as well.
You raised more good points there. We're talking about behaviors here almost exclusively, but trying to get beyond those behaviors, the reasons for those behaviors, the context, the circumstance, the issues that people are going through. And if people are not immediately, intuitively, favorably disposed towards you as a coach, they're less likely to be revealing. I'm having extraordinarily deeper, more meaningful conversations a year on with some of the people I'm working with now than I was a year ago because we developed a more trusting relationship. And I think just because you don't share values, interests, and other things with someone doesn't mean you can't get positive, worthwhile, lasting outcomes. It could be more likely because that is the focus of your conversations. We've had
Yeah.
enough this one because it's going on, but it's raising lots of other issues, isn't it? Is there anything you want to say in summation?
Well, I'm going to throw this back to you, I think, really. What do you want people to take away from this? What would you be your key thing that you want people to do?
I guess be aware of this. Be aware that it's reciprocal. It's not just what I think towards Rekha Norton. It's also recognizing that Rekha Norton's got a view on this. Is it horns or a halo or something in between, or does it move about ourselves? Because I think we can be one-dimensional. And I think recognizing that there could be more we can do to recognize the impact of this and the impact, as you say, that could go stronger than that in terms of where appropriate relations with third parties like commissioning clients and the brief you get. There's lots of stuff in here, but it boils down to be aware of it, be aware it's reciprocal, and recognize you can work with it positively.
Thank you.
Ha, thank you.